Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the gospel for today, Jesus is once again in his hometown. He's been able to do absolutely amazing things when surrounded by those who give him a hard time, those who do not believe in him. He's able to heal and do miracles in the midst of the church authorities and the synagogue authorities who are working against him, amidst strangers and the people of God. He has been remarkable. But now he comes home. And he comes home. Aha! He comes home and he's not able to do much at all. As he gathers there with the folks who have known him for a long time, those folks who one would expect would be the most supportive and helpful and who would believe in him, they look at him and they say, "What wisdom is this? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Isn't this the carpenter? The son of Mary?" Notice Joseph isn't mentioned in this gospel. The son of Mary, and aren't these his brothers? James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, and not even to mention he has unnamed sisters. How many of you, when you think of Jesus, think of, "Oh, I wonder what his brothers and sisters did"? Anybody? Very good. Honestly, I think most people think that Jesus was an only child. It could have only happened once. That's true. Right here, it says his sisters and his brothers are all here. How could he be a miracle worker? And he couldn't do much there. And Jesus says, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their own hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." Jesus is home, but home is no longer in him. So Jesus leaves. He heals a few people, a few small deeds of power, and he leaves to go teach. And so he walks out into the villages, and when he goes out to teach, to proclaim that word of God, to do the healing to which he has been called, something happens. Something quite remarkable. Up until this point in the Gospel of Mark, the disciples have been just that. They've been disciples, learners, followers. You know how it goes. 12 people standing around Jesus. Jesus heals the blind man, and they go, "That was cool." Did we mention we're with him? It's Jesus, my buddy. And then he goes and he does something, and he says something amazing, and they say, "That is amazing, Jesus. Wow, that's great. I wish we could do that." Time and time again, they are there with Jesus, but now he sends them out. Two by two. Not to announce his coming. Not to gather the tents up so that everybody shows up for the revival meeting. Not to set out the chairs for outdoor worship on a terribly hot day. But instead, he sends them out to do the very thing Jesus did. He gives them power to heal, to cast out demons, to preach, to share the word of God. Jesus does not keep for himself that which God has gifted Jesus. And in that amazing exchange, the relationship between Jesus and the disciples is transformed. Home becomes something different. It's no longer that little town where Jesus was raised, where they remember him as a little boy in cotton diapers, picking up his first hammer, nailing in his first nail, all of those kind of cool things. Although I have to admit, where is she? Stepha, thank you very much for the Gospel According to Biff. So there's a book called The Gospel According to Biff, which is a fictional account of Jesus as a little boy. And so as a baby, he keeps eating the lizard, or biting down the lizard, and then he brings it back to life. And he just keeps doing this over and over again. So every time I think of Jesus as a little boy, I think of Biff. Thank you very much. He's no longer that little boy, and that is no longer home. Home now is out where the people are. Jesus sends out the disciples completely unequipped. Don't take an extra tunic or a coat. Don't bring a whole bag with you. You know, go to the Honolulu airport sometime and watch what it takes to spend a week in Hawaii. Sorry, if any of you are tourists, I apologize. I saw one lady get off with 8 suitcases, and I thought, Lord of Goshen. But Jesus doesn't give them 8 suitcases and porters. Jesus sends them out with what's on their back. No extra bag, no extra money. And he says to them, go and do the work to which you have been called. And if you are welcomed there, God bless it. Stay in that place. Preach the word. Heal people. But if they refuse to welcome you and they refuse to hear you, then as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet and move on. And so they went out and proclaimed that everyone should repent, should turn to God. Well, it says something for us as well. I read an article recently about how much of the work of the disciples, those who were sent out, seems these days to fall to the professionals. And I have to say, it's a terrible way to do ministry. In this article, it was very self-serving. It was written by a pastor, so I always think it's rather self-serving. But in general, the idea is that we've sort of turned over ministry to the professionals. That only pastors can go do visits, and pastors have to do all of this stuff for the church, and so much depends on the pastor. I've said for years that you should never join a church because of a pastor, and you should never leave a church because of a pastor. Because pastors don't last that terribly long. I mean, even 30 years, you can put up with anything for 30 years. Instead, become a part of a Christian community because that Christian community is faithful to God and has work for you to do. By turning over that terrible and wonderful work of ministry to the professionals, you've robbed yourself of the opportunity to go into the community and preach and teach and heal. The real work of ministry does not happen by the professional clergy or by the clergy at all. The real work of ministry happens when we are transformed in that relationship with Jesus and he sends each of us out to proclaim Christ crucified, the presence of the Holy Spirit, and the power of God in the world. Now that seems easy and also difficult. I certainly am not proposing that we take on the Jehovah Witness style of ministry, although I've considered it. I think giving you each a white shirt and sending you down the road with a Bible and a bag might not be a bad idea. But there would be a lot of dust shaken off of sandals. Mostly yours. No, God has called us into something more and different and deeper. It seems to me that the ministry of Jesus now becomes public. The concept and the idea of what home is grows when Jesus sends the disciples into the world. No longer is ministry just in Jerusalem. church is no longer just in Rome or, for goodness sake, in Chicago. The church is where you are, in your work, in your family, at school, in your friendships, in your marriages, in your relationships, and even with those with whom you have enmity. Those that you don't particularly care for, or even worse, that you ignore. The opportunity to share God's word of hope and peace and love is there, not just here. In a way, it's good that we're not in the sanctuary today, because it makes us feel a little less at home, so much so that I believe I forgot the opening hymn. Yellow card for excessive celebration. As I was sitting there, I thought to myself, did we sing that hymn? I don't think we did. When we are out of our comfort zone, anything can happen. Too often we become jaded in our own hometown. It's so amazing to me that we can be part of a church community that is healthy and happy and vibrant, and still people will complain. Because, well, it's home. I've maintained for years that everyone who is a member of a church needs to spend about 3 weeks in other churches and see how it goes. Home may not seem quite so bad. Or maybe it will, I don't know. But too often we get familiar in the place and the comfort and the familiarity of liturgy and the right organ and the right songs and all of those things. We get sort of planted there in our own hometown, and frankly, very little prophecy happens when we are comfortable. Jesus sends the disciples into uncomfortable places, so that they can proclaim God's peace to discomforted people. And there, find a home. These days, we struggle with what it is to be home, as we struggle with racism and violence. This weekend, we celebrated, again, the birth of our nation, and one of my favorite things that I saw, I'd never seen this before, I loved it. It was a big British flag, and over the British flag it said, what was it? Should write these things down. Oh, it said, Happy Rebellion Day, and then at the bottom it said, You ungrateful colonials. That was awesome. It's awesome because it reminds us that we are so comfortable at home, and yet it is a terribly uncomfortable place for so many people. How will we proclaim the gospel? How will we share God's love in such an uncomfortable place? I think the last thing I want to take away from this text with you is that simply to point out that the disciples were sent out without much of anything. Having worked a little bit with our division for outreach, what we call lovingly the DO, every time you want to do a new mission start, there's a checklist. And in that checklist, you have to make sure that you have all of the resources necessary that you will be successful. Gosh, I hate that word. Do you have enough money? Do you have enough chairs? Do you have a place to do ministry? There's like this whole long list of things that you have to have in place in order to do something new. When we first set off to do campus ministry, one of the church bureaucrats came and said to Angela, now, we have some things for you to attend, and here's all of this paperwork to fill out, And then also we want you to go to this training and to this training, and then we're going to list you on this thing. And she just said, I don't think so. She was still the associate then, and she said, well, I'll check with Pastor Jeff, but I'm pretty sure he doesn't think so either. It didn't seem possible that you could just throw the lawn dart at the target and see if God sticks. We do not need million-dollar organs or even courtyard covers, thank you, Jesus, or chairs or a building or any of that to do ministry. Jesus sends the disciples out with a word and a heart. And that's the world into which we are sent. We will never be prepared enough. We will never have enough stuff. We will never have just the right building. We will never be fully and adequately supplied so that we can be a success. But that's not ministry. Jesus leaves his hometown and he teaches and preaches, and he sends every one of you out of your hometown to make a home in the desert. And there to dwell, preach God's word, share God's love, pray for one another, and be made whole. I wonder what the church will look like. We know what it looked like back then, but I wonder what it will look like in the future as we are called and sent.